I know people in Barbados who have a negative view of social media. They see it as peddling more bad than good. And they're not alone. Since that mob attack in the United States, more and more people there are saying that social media needs to be controlled. People such as Tristan Harris. He is president of the Center for Humane Technology, and he studies social media for a living.
You can make quick statements like, you know, social media was used to organize the events of January 6th, but that's not what I saw. What I saw was the 10-year culminating process that led to people operating with such certainty about either the election being stolen or the world is run by a bunch of pedophile globalists. We're 10 years into this mind-warping process. And I think that's what people aren't paying enough attention to. It's not just that there was one actor inciting violence in the form of Trump and deplatforming him. It's that this entire business model profited from giving each of us a more certain view of reality, which when you give different people a certain view of reality that's incompatible with the other, it just drives up more division and violence. Every time you swing your finger up and you swipe and it has to show you something, it has to pick what to show you. You might say, well, I picked my friends, I picked the content I clicked on, I picked what I shared, so therefore I'm responsible for what I'm seeing. But that's not how it works at all. Behind the glass slab, Facebook has a most powerful supercomputer in the world pointed at your brain and tries to calculate which thing could I show you that would be most likely to keep you swiping as opposed to stop you swiping. And if I show you something that challenges your view of reality, you're not going to stay. So we've been going through this process for 10 years where each time you swipe your finger, people get something that confirms affirmation, not information. And then you start associating that with these radioactive topics of whether it's race or the election or inequality. And that has shattered our shared assumptions. It's not just that we have slightly different sets of facts. We have very, very different assumptions of what's been happening and who did what and whether the balance sheets are equal over the last 10 years.
Mr. Harris was asked whether we should treat tech companies not like traditional ones, but more like utilities.
So I think there's two issues. One is governing them, which is kind of a question of utilities. They're so powerful. They're so essential. They're the central information infrastructure that governs our democracy. Obviously, if you're taking over that level of spaces of public squares and public interest, they should be governed according to, you know, what the public interests are. So making them in public utilities is a, you know, definitely in the direction of where we would want to go. But we also have to ask, beyond the question of governance, is the system itself compatible with a democracy that works? Meaning we have a system that produces kind of a cultural cancer of shortening attention spans, more addiction, more polarization, more outrage. We can talk about governing that as a public utility, or we can talk about changing it from being a cancer in the first place to something that's not a cancer. What would it look like to have it deepen our concentration, longer attention spans, deeper thought processes, not just a hyper-focus on the present, less polarization, more constructive speech? That's what we think of as kind of humane technology.
He adds,
if we just let the self-driving car of this business model continue, we already saw what happened January 6th, culminating 10 years of that process. This is clearly a moment where we cannot survive as a civilization, as a democracy, if we allow that to do. I'm not even sure, frankly, that we can as it is, because we've already infected ourselves with the kind of divisive malware where our minds are not able to agree with each other. Even if you subtract social media right now, we are clearly seeing such different understandings of reality, and we're not really interested in abandoning our perspectives. Watching lots of the media as I have the last week, it's not really evident that anyone wants to, you know, open-mindedly say, oh, where might I be completely wrong about my understanding of where the other side is coming from? And that's what really worries me. We've always had partisan media. We've never had supercomputers pointed at our brains, perfectly able to stimulate our emotions and know more about us than we know about ourselves. It knows that you know, resonant frequency, the minor seventh of which anger to put into your nervous system next, because it's literally playing chess against 3 trillion calculations of which one will do the best job of that. And so it's checkmate against the human nervous system, because it simply has seen more patterns of which emotions, which kinds of text will tend to produce the results that it wants for its business model. Again, this is possible to escape, but only if we collectively recognize that this is a completely unsustainable, unsurvivable situation if we don't fundamentally change this business model.
This has been SagiCore's Early Business.